not backing down.
Good evening for WBAI News in New York. I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Tuesday, April 11th, 2017.
I don't support airstrikes in Syria. I don't support a ground invasion in Syria. And I am very afraid of, you know, the future facing this country.
We're here to basically try to mobilize the power of the working class in defense of Syria.
I'm here because I wanted to show opposition to the U.S. escalation of what's happening in Syria, military escalation.
I'm here because I'm fully against U.S. military intervention.
I'm here to try to stop the normalization of endless war, especially in the Middle East.
I was politicized growing up in the Bush years, and my parents came out to protest the Iraq war. And here I am protesting a possible Syrian war, possible World War III. We don't know what's going to happen, and it's a climate of fear, but we just want the bloodshed to stop.
New Yorkers reacting to the Trump administration bombing in Syria after a chemical attack, which killed more than 82 people last week and injured more than 300. Former Exxon CEO operating as Secretary of State Rex Tillerson arrived in Russia today for meetings with his counterpart Sergei Lavrov. Tillerson was just in Italy, where he met with foreign ministers from the G7 countries, along with allies from the Middle East. Their effort was to put together a united approach to Syria. Tillerson said today that Russia must choose between allying itself with the U.S. and like-minded countries, or embracing embattled Syrian leader Bashar Assad, Iran, and militant group Hezbollah.
Is that a long-term alliance that serves Russia's interest? Or would Russia prefer to realign with the United States, with other Western countries and Middle East countries who are seeking to resolve the Syrian crisis? We want to relieve the suffering of the Syrian people. We want to create a future for Syria that is stable and secure. And so Russia can be a part of that future and play an important role. Or Russia can maintain its alliance with this group, which we believe is not going to serve Russia's interests longer term. But only Russia can answer that question.
Tillerson justified the bombing of the Syrian airbase without congressional approval by saying it was in the interest of national security.
We do not want the regime's uncontrolled stockpile of chemical weapons to fall into the hands of ISIS or other terrorist groups who could and want to attack the United States or our allies. Nor can we accept the normalization of the use of chemical weapons by other actors or countries in Syria or elsewhere.
Donald Trump blamed Assad for the chemical attack on the Syrian population. The Russian President Vladimir Putin says Washington's accusations against the Syrian government over the chemical attack resemble the claims made before the U.S. invaded Iraq back in 2003. Putin today said that the U.S. invaded Iraq based on false allegations that it had chemical weapons. Russia has argued that civilians in the Idlib province in Syria were exposed to toxic agents from a militant's arsenal hit by a Syrian airstrike. But the blame game going on between the U.S. and Russia may all be a ruse.
I want more attention from all communities to speak out.
I am hoping that our elected leaders in New York, they would take a firm stance against military intervention in countries where we have no stake and no prospect of improving the situation.
So we need an anti-war movement. We need a movement that unites all different sections of people, from students to workers, community members.
If you want people to stop being bombed, don't bomb them.
I just hope, like, people going to protest start radicalizing and, like, figure out ways we can organize in our communities.
If the Transit Workers Union were to mobilize in defense of Syria, that would be a huge impact.
So what we're hoping is that we can, you know, bring folks together and really build an anti-war movement here in the United States.
I just hope it forces people to acknowledge left anti-war voices.
I think certainly a good first step would be a more humane policy in terms of accepting refugees and funding aid agencies that are helping people in the region.
New Yorkers outside Trump Tower in the aftermath of the Trump administration's bombing of a Syrian airbase.
If we are to turn this situation around with this president, who does not deserve to be president, that it really is going to have to come from the people.
California Congress member Maxine Waters doesn't trust Trump, and she doesn't trust Tillerson.
We cannot afford to have our foreign policy determined by this president. He is not trustworthy. He lies at the drop of a hat, and he's not capable of making the kind of decisions that would cause this country to have a credible policy dealing with other nations. We are increasingly disrespected by other countries who you would see a president that wouldn't even shake the hand of a woman, Chancellor Merkel from Germany, and we don't know what he's doing when he's down at Mar-a-Lago entertaining foreign dignitaries as he has just done with the head of China. And so instead of having him at the White House and in the proper and appropriate setting where everybody understands what is happening and what is going on, he shows off with, you know, taking him down to his own privately owned center or where he is not properly secured, et cetera, et cetera. Now, everybody knows that I believe that his allies and too many people around him are focused on lifting the sanctions with Russia. This president has said over and over again that he thinks Putin is a great leader. He has complimented him. As a matter of fact, he even pushed back on Bill O'Reilly, of all people, when he said Putin was a killer. He said, so what? You know, we also kill people in the United States. And so he has gone above and beyond what anybody would even think about in complimenting and basically wrapping his arms around Putin. And so I want everybody to keep an eye on Tillerson. Don't forget, Tillerson was the CEO of Exxon. He was the one that negotiated a multi-billion-dollar deal with Putin to drill in the Arctic. And, of course, I believe that Tillerson, along with the other allies and friends in this circle, Roger Stone and Flynn was in the circle, and, of course, Manafort is in the circle, and Craig Page is in the circle, and Trump's lawyer Cohen, all of them are in this circle around oil and wanting these sanctions lifted. And so certainly we must fight to make sure that Trump cannot have another strike, cannot lead us into war. He's got to come into the Congress. It's got to be debated. It's got to be discussed. But also keep an eye on Tillerson. I don't want to see any deals coming out that will say from Putin, okay, we will do everything that we can to stop, you know, any of the bombing in Syria, particularly, you know, the sarin gas or chlorine or any of the other kinds of gases that could be used. And in exchange for that, I want to get the sanctions lifted. I don't want any deals cut. And so keep an eye on Tillerson. I don't trust him either. I don't know why he wants to be the Secretary of State. I think it's all about lifting those sanctions. Many folks will benefit from it. All of those allies will get rich. They are tied into the Kremlin. They're tied into the oligarchs. And I want you to know that in addition to keeping an eye on what's going on and fighting and holding Trump accountable, don't allow these sanctions to be lifted, because in the final analysis, that's what many of them are geared on.
California Congressmember Maxine Waters. In other international news, some 6,000 people, mostly women and children, have fled into Uganda after a recent attack on a town in South Sudan. The UN received reports of fighting between government troops and opposition fighters there last week, and it's trying to follow up on reports of civilians killed in the area. Jocelyn Sambira has the story.
Uganda's northern Lamu district has received over 6,000 South Sudanese since last Monday, with at least 4,500 still crowded together at the border. As well as the fighting near Pajok in eastern Equatoria State, ongoing fighting is also reported in the districts of Magui and Obu, close to the border with Uganda. The East African nation is now the main host of the world's fastest-growing refugee crisis. Auma Lucy Yubwan escaped Pajok and walked for 2 days to reach the refugee center in Lamu. She recalled the brutal scenes that took place there.
The soldiers were looting, breaking down doors and beating people. They arrested people and asked them to show where the rebels are. But when people say they don't know, they beat them. They killed people.
When the attack happened, Auma and her children ran in different directions. They found each other at the border. Here's Auma Lucy Yubwan again.
I am happy that my children are alive. Even though I have nothing to eat and I have lost everything, I was so scared. I didn't know if I would see them again. The bullets were flying everywhere. I couldn't move. I had to lie on my belly. I'm very grateful I am alive.
UNHCR spokesperson Babar Baloch said the elderly and disabled who could not run were shot dead and that many people were still hiding in the bush trying to find their way into Uganda. Homes and properties are being looted and the main roads out of town are being blocked by armed groups. Refugees are in dire need of immediate humanitarian assistance, according to Agnes Kanyonyi, a member of the UNHCR Emergency Response Team.
You see, we need this emergency water. We need shelter, we need medical, we need food, and attending these child protection issues.
Some 1.7 million South Sudanese refugees are living in exile as the brutal conflict in Africa's newest nation pushes even more people into neighboring countries. Uganda currently hosts more than 832,000 refugees from South Sudan. The new arrivals, an average of 2,000 every day, are stretching Uganda's resources to the limit. Jocelyn Sambira, United Nations.
And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio. This is WBAI in New York, broadcasting at 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. In other news, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed legislation in Harlem which raises the age of criminal liability from 16 to 17 beginning on October 1, 2018, and to the age of 18 on October 1, 2019. Cuomo was introduced by Khalif Browder's brother, Akeem Browder, a social justice advocate in the Bronx who has been working on raising the age of criminal responsibility, as well as on campaigns to shut down Rikers. Akeem Browder says he works in his brother's honor and his mother's legacy.
Khalif spent most of his remaining years of his life on Rikers Island, and by now, most of the world knows Khalif's story. Arrested at 16 years old for allegedly stealing a backpack, Khalif was imprisoned for 3 years and tortured. Much of his time was spent in solitary confinement, and the traumatizing years of going through that led to his inevitable death. This should have never happened to Khalif. Khalif was a kid, my brother, your neighbors. It is my family's hope that stories like Khalif's is not only spoken on every corner of the United States, but made as a command to bring attention to the reform of the criminal justice system, the way that the criminal justice system has and continues to damage many of the lives of not just kids, but all that goes in their custody. Thanks to the leadership of New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo, we now have the Raise the Age bill passed and the age of criminal responsibility he made a priority. Thank you. I am proud and grateful for the support of those grassroots organizations like Shut Down Rikers and Justice League, which were critical in this fight, and especially extending my gratitude to the governor and all those advocates that actually fought relentlessly, giving up their time, their life, and their empathetic hearts to my brother's story. Governor Cuomo has been a leader in this fight, trying for years to get this policy passed. The governor has shined a light on this issue for the nation to see and gotten something done that no one thought possible. We have been waiting 12 years for this, and now we finally got it done. I'm honored also to introduce today our governor, but also with the understanding that there is more work to get done together, like the work of those in the reentry to society programs, like Julio Medina's Exodus Transitional Service, and the work with the congressmen's, Congressman Crowley, the Caliph Act, also known as the Success Act. Caliph would have never been housed in these adult facilities had this been taken care of, but now our children can be safe, and not, or at least not in an adult facility. So thank you, Governor Cuomo.
Incarceration of 16 and 17-year-olds falls disproportionately on young people of color. Black and Hispanic youth only make up 33% of 16 and 17-year-olds statewide, but 72% of all arrests. Of the teens who committed crimes, a vast majority of them are nonviolent. Andrew Cuomo says New York's budget, which raises the age, has a heart.
People who turn on the TV, who read the newspaper, and say, what is going on in this society, in our criminal justice system, that in so many ways are doing injustices? And an injustice is revealed in a way we've never seen before. Eric Garner case, you can watch on a video. Over and over and over again. It's not somebody telling you the story. It's not second hand. It's not third hand. It's a video where you see what happened. Incident after incident all across the country. And people saying there is bias and there is discrimination in our criminal justice system. And it is causing minorities pain and grief. And it has for years, and no one's doing anything. And that is the truth. And then you see the Caliph Browder story that galvanizes public opinion. Why? Because it's everything you knew. It's everything you feared. And then here it is in one picture. And people say, I can't believe it. And by the way, it's not Arkansas. It's not some state in the middle of the country you never even visited. It's the state of New York. It's New York City that this is going on. New York City, the progressive capital of the world, the home of diversity, the home of justice, where the NAACP started. The most liberal, most progressive people. And we have the most cruel, the most unjust result you can imagine. So bad they make a movie out of it because nobody can believe it. Right here in New York.
Cuomo says New York is going to stop the cycle. He talks about when he was in the Manhattan DA's office, when young kids would come in from the projects, get into a little trouble, get sent to juvenile, come out and get into more trouble.
16 years old, got into a little more trouble. Criminal record. Criminal record. Now, it was really hard. Now you had that scarlet letter on you where every employer is going to look at one thing, that scarlet letter. And they put the resume in the garbage. Then we're going to send a 16, 17-year-old to the same prison or the same jail with hardened criminals, with these predators who we have in these jails. You're going to send a 16-year-old baby, a baby, into the same situation. And then you're going to be surprised when they're victimized, hardened, and hurt, and they come out worse than they went in. And we're paying for this system. We're paying for this machine to process the same thing over and over and over again. The same pattern that leads to the same outcome. Young person, without opportunity, without support, exposed to a difficult environment, makes a mistake, winds up in a bad place, gets a scarlet letter, goes through an institution that hurts them, that makes them harder. They come out, can't get a job, make another mistake, and they're back in. $50,000 per prison bed in the state of New York, more money than the education and tuition at Harvard University. Insanity over and over and over again. This says no more. This says a 16 or a 17-year-old who makes a mistake should be treated as a 16 or 17-year-old who makes a mistake, should get help, should get counseling, should get a punishment, but not a criminal record that destroys the rest of their lives. This says we're going to seal records. We're going to seal records of people going forward who have a criminal offense, but who are then clean for a period of time. We're going to seal their records so they don't always have to write on the resume, we're a felon, and get knocked out of the job market.
And he says the bill is going to go back 10 years and seal the records of anyone who committed a criminal offense in the past 10 years but has been clean since then. And Cuomo isn't buying Bill de Blasio's 10-year timeline for shutting down Rikers.
Putting a 16 and 17-year-old on Rikers Island is an abomination. Rikers Island is an abomination. And don't tell me it's going to take 10 years to fix that abomination, because when you want to do something, you do it. And it doesn't have to take 10 years to end the injustice of Rikers Island. If they weren't poor people, and they weren't minorities, and they weren't criminals, you'd see how fast we'd get it done if we wanted to get it done. But whatever the city does, the state is demanding all 16 and 17-year-olds are off Rikers Island by next year, period, by the operation of state law. And I said to Akeem, when we were doing the bill, and we were sitting there one of the last nights, and we were having the last conversation, and we were going through provisions that had to be in the bill, a senator from upstate New York said, don't forget Kalief Browder. We have to get the 16 and 17-year-olds out of Rikers Island, and we have to do it by next year. Your brother did not die in vain. Your brother died to make a social change, and he has.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signing the Raise the Age bill at the New York City Mission Society in Harlem. Another big change in the 2018 New York State budget, inspired by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, is free college tuition for middle and low-income New Yorkers. Back in January, Cuomo and Sanders appeared together at LaGuardia Community College in Long Island City.
And the issue is that at a time when we have a president-elect who thinks it's a great idea to give hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to the top 0.2%, we have a better idea. And that idea is to make public colleges and universities tuition free for every person in New York State, in Vermont, and in America.
The catch is graduates must remain in New York State for as many years as they receive the benefit, or they must repay the money as a loan if they take a job in another state. Republican lawmakers push for the requirement during closed-door state budget negotiations to ensure that students don't take advantage of the free tuition and then leave New York State. Students who receive the free tuition and then leave the state for an advanced degree won't have to pay the money back, though, assuming they return to New York once they complete their graduate studies. State officials also plan to make accommodations for graduates who leave the state for military service. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. The news was produced with Jocelyn Sambira, Dominique Jack, Akeem Killick, and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.